In 1983, 150 world-class runners meet together for the world's longest and toughest ultramarathon. It's a tough and exhausting 875 kilometers endurance race from Sydney to Melbourne, Australia. On the day of the race, at Tootless, literally Tootless, 61-year-old potato farmer and shepherder named Cliff Young approached the registration table wearing overalls and work boots. At first, people thought he was there to watch the race. But to their surprise, Cliff Young declared his intention to run and he requested a number. Cliff Young had grown up on a farm without the benefit of luxuries like horses and four-wheel drives. A shepherd of 2,000 sheep over a 2,000-acre farm. Before the race, he had told the press that he sometimes ran for 2 or 3 days straight, rounding up sheep in work boots, no sleep. The unbelieving staff issued clip number 64. And as he mingled with the other runners at the starting line, spectators couldn't believe their eyes. Some said, "This must be a joke. A 61-year-old wants to join the race." When the gun went off, Clep was left behind in his work boots and overalls. As the other runners with their well-prepared bodies and running gear briskly began the race. Spectators were laughing when Clip began to run. He ran slow and loping pace, and he was behind the pack by a very large margin during the first day. All of Australia watched the live telecast. Some people said, "Someone should stop that crazy old man before he kills himself." But 5 days, 15 hours, and 4 minutes later, Cliff Young came shuffling across the finish line in Melbourne, winning the ultra marathon. He didn't win by a few seconds or a few minutes. The nearest runner was 9 hours and 56 minutes behind. 9 hours, almost 10 hours behind. Australians were stunned at this remarkable yet seemingly impossible victory. How did it happen? Everyone knew that the only way to win ultra marathon was to run for 18 hours. That's the maximum number of hours, 18 hours, and then stop and then sleep for 6 hours. This routine was repeated for 5 punishing days, but nobody told Cliff Young. He just shuffled along and day and night, night and day. He didn't stop without sleeping. Cliff broke the previous race record by 9 hours and became overnight a national hero. Upon being awarded the prize of $10,000, he said he did not know that there was a prize. He felt bad accepting it, as each of the other 5 runners, 6 of them finished the race. He said they also worked as hard as me. So he felt bad. So he split the money equally among them, keeping none for himself. In 1984, he was awarded the Medal of the Order of Australia for long distance running. What a story. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, victory in the Christian life comes through endurance. The Christian life is not a 100-meter dash. It's a marathon. In the short-distance race, speed is very important. In the long-distance race, endurance is what leads to success. Running a good race requires focus, physical exertion, perseverance from start to finish, laying aside all the distractions. You remain focused on one thing, moving forward and finishing the race. You don't look back, you don't turn around, and the most important of all, you don't quit. Each of us must run the race in our own special way with spiritual gifts, talents, resources God has bestowed upon us. And when we run the Christian ultra marathon with endurance, keeping our focus on Jesus Christ, we can be assured of finishing strong. And hearing those cherished words, "Thou well done, thou good and faithful servant." This is my challenge to all of us this morning. Finish strong as we run our race. You cannot be passive in your Christian life. If you need to keep that forward focus, you need to press on towards the goal God has for you. Apostle Paul shares with us in these verses some principles in order for us to finish strong. First, we need to have a godly goal. That's found in verse 12. "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I pressed on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own." If you are going to press on towards the goal that God has for you, you must first of all make God's goal your own goal. And for us to do that, we need to admit. Apostle Paul said, "Not that I have already obtained it or attained this, or not that I'm already perfect." So be honest about where you are in your Christian walk. You notice Paul's honesty here. Paul doesn't claim that he is perfect despite of all his accomplishments, his achievements in the ministry, the churches that he planted, the souls that he brought to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, he realizes he is still in the journey, still a runner, and that he still has a long way to go. And he shares that to the Philippian believers. "Not that I've already obtained or I'm already perfect." Admit. Any perfect people watching with us this morning? I don't think so. Because we are still working on to that. And that is Paul's point here. Be honest about where you are in your Christian walk. To have a godly goal, you need to admit. And there's a need also to be aligned. Aligned. That's what Paul says in the second half of verse 12. He said, "But I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own." Other translation use the word "take hold of me." So I take hold or lay hold. God grabbed hold of Paul because he had a purpose for Paul's life. And if you are a Christian, then God grabbed hold of you because he has a purpose for your life. So align your goals with God's goal for you. "Not that I've already obtained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me." In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God has a purpose for your life, but in order to fulfill that purpose, you need to grab hold of that which he grabbed hold of you. And you can only do that as you spend time with him in word and in prayer, walking closely, obediently to him, and he will lead you to where you are supposed to go and what you are supposed to do. When Paul said that I may lay hold, he used a strong language here. The word apprehend. Apprehend is from the same Greek word translated attain. He wants to catch hold of it and pull it down. Like, to picture this word, attain or apprehend, it's like a football player who not only wants to catch his opponent, but to pull him down and make him his own. Catch and hold and put him down. Jesus Christ laid hold of Paul to conform him into the image of him in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Laid hold to conform to his image. So Paul would lay hold of that and wanted to see the nature of Jesus within himself. Jesus laid hold of Paul to make him an instrument in the conversion of others. In Acts chapter 9, verse 15. So Paul, it says there, Jesus laid hold of Paul to make him instrument. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. He's a chosen, for I will show him much how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Jesus laid hold of Paul to make him instrument for the conversion of others. So Paul would lay hold of the work bringing others to Jesus Christ. That's the plan of God for him. And so Paul aligned his goals with God's goal. Jesus laid hold of Paul to bring him into suffering. In 9:16, so Paul would lay hold wanting to know Jesus in the fellowship of his sufferings. Verse 16 of Acts chapter 9. You remember the message, suffering, pastor's sermon like two Sundays ago, suffering as the sign of the saved. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, it says, "For it had been granted to you for the sake of Christ not only to believe, but to suffer for his sake." So that's the principle in pressing towards the goal God has for you. Make God's goal your own. God's desire and God's will be your desire also. Godly goal. Align, admit, and align. Can you imagine out of more than 7 billion, close to 8 billion people in the world right now, God chose you before the foundation of the world, and He has a purpose for you. And I hope that purpose of God in you, you will lay hold to that and align to His desire. You were created for his purpose. You are His workmanship, created for good work. So that's the principle. Admit first to have a godly goal. Admit about where you are in your Christian walk and align your goals with God's goal for your life. The second principle in finishing strong is to have a forward focus in verses 13 to 15. You can't run very well looking backward. If you are going to press on towards the goal God has for you, need to keep a forward focus at all times. So how do you do that? First, focus on one thing. Focus on one thing. Look at verse 13 here. Paul said, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do." One thing. I'm sure Paul had many things going on in his life. His ministries, those false teachers, rebuking them and reminding the believers about those who are wolves. And aside from that, he was suffering from his thorn of the flesh. He has a lot of things to consider. And yet he was able to focus all of his energies in one direction and say, one thing I do. He got rid of all the distractions and kept his focus in Christ Jesus. How many things do you do? Probably you do a lot of different things and pulled in a lot of different directions every day. It's hard to keep focus when there are so many things to do. You cannot run a good race when you are distracted from your goal. Now, much of what we do is good and necessary. But there are many things in our lives that we know those are just distractions. They are not necessary. And in some cases, they are actually harmful to us and even to others. We need to get rid of the distractions. In the midst of our busy schedules, we need to be able to say with Apostle Paul, like he said, one thing I do. When you are in a race, the last thing you want to do is to look back. Successful runners will advise that for you to win the race, you need to focus forward, look at the finish line, or else you will never win the race. Finish strong by focusing on one thing. Let's take a look on this picture. Maybe some of you recognize this. It's a bronze sculpture in Vancouver, Canada, commemorating the race between John Landy and Roger Bannister during the 1954 British Games in Vancouver. This was the race known as the Miracle Mile, because it was the first race in history to feature two runners who had both run the mile in under 4 minutes. Landy held the world record, and he was actually winning the race. He was leading the race, but he made one critical mistake. He looked back over his shoulder to check Bannister's position. And as he looked over his shoulder on the left, Roger Bannister surged by him on his right side and winning the race by 0.8 seconds. This statue was sculpted from a photograph taken during that moment. After the sculpture was made, Landy said, "While Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt for looking back, I am probably the only one ever turned into a monument of bronze for looking back." Do you ever look back in such a way that keeps you from moving forward in your Christian life? Some people look back at their past successes, achievements, and accomplishments. And instead of serving God in the present, they take comfort in how they serve Him in the past. They said, "I've served before for so long. I contributed a lot in the ministry. Now, it's their turn. I will rest." We also sit around talking about the good old days instead of focusing on what God has for us now. If God has used you in the past, that's great. Praise God. But realize that God still has work for you to do. Don't ever settle for being a husband Christian. Like politician or military who are called as ex-military, ex-marine, or former mayor or governor. There are no husbands in Christian life, dear brothers and sisters. Only people whom God wants to use now in the present. Other people have the opposite problem. Instead of looking at their past successes, they focus on their failures. They have failed God in the past, so they feel that God cannot use them in the present. If that is you, I encourage you, brothers. First of all, if you're a Christ in Christ, know that God has forgiven you. And secondly, know that God still has work for you to do. He is the God of second chances, the God of third and fourth and fifth chances, and He will never give up on you. In fact, He often uses your past failures to help you minister in the present. If you keep looking backwards, you will never go forwards. As Christians, we need to forget what's behind and then strain towards what is ahead. The word strain means to exert yourself to the uttermost. Exert. There's effort involved in the Christian life. you are saved by grace, but that does not mean there is no work for you to do. Faith is not a decision you made in the past that has no effect for you today. Faith is something that you need to work out every day. Work out every day. Same is true with grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith. The salvation that we have is by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. But also in our maturity as we run the race, our sanctification, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. And also in our service and doing good works. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, having sufficiency at all things at all times, may abound in every good work as you run this race. We need the grace of God, the overflowing grace of God towards maturity and as we do good works. And as we tap on that grace of God, God, our giver, will be glorified. Forward focus, focused on one thing. And not only focus on one thing, but also focus on the price. As we have that forward focus. Look at verse 14. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This verse is all about perseverance and purposeful living. What good is it if you run a great race? You run so fast at the beginning, but you quit before the finish line. You need to persevere. And how do you do that? You need to have a purpose. You need to keep your eyes on the goal. God has called you heavenward in Christ Jesus. Don't live your life for earthly things, because you have a higher calling. That's what Apostle Paul said in the succeeding verse. Don't focus on earthly things, that their God is their belly, because your citizenship is in heaven. So think about the future. Think forward. Keep your eyes on the prize. What happens in a race as you get closer to the finish line? You don't slow down. Instead, you speed up, because the end is in sight and you are running a race and the prize is before you. That's how you keep a forward focus in life. Apostle Paul said, strain toward the goal. Don't look back, because you are not going that way. You're not going that way. You're going this way. And how many of us think that way or live that way? Forget your past. I don't say totally forget your past, because there are past victories that we have that every time we remember those past, it will spur us to run forward, motivate us. If you look forward to make you have that forward focus, then it will be okay. Forget your past, those failures and accomplishments that make us slow in our race. Because everything you do will gonna bring either a reward or regret on that day, on the future, when you meet our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Think of that. Everything you do here right now will either bring reward or regret. The question is, what's going to bring reward? And what's going to bring regret? To be honest, we did a lot of things that we regret. We do things, we said things that we regret. We bought things that we regret. A lot of clothes that we bought that out of style and out of size. Cannot wear it anymore. We buy a lot of food in the fridge that we wasted. We bought house instead of a townhouse instead of a condo instead of this. We regret because we bought SUV instead of sedan instead of a van or a truck. Regret. Here on earth, we have a lot of regrets. But how about the moment when we meet our Savior Jesus Christ? How about your time and how you spend it? we wasted a lot of number of hours and days and weeks and months. Some said, I regret I watched 300 movies during quarantine moments. It's more than 4 months. Now I regret I wasted all of that time playing in the computer, watching YouTube or watching Netflix telenovela, Korean novela, instead of reading Bible, reading devotional and Christian resources. Who among you here who has what we call pandemic regrets? Maybe last year your prayer is to have more time for reading the Bible, more time to pray, quiet time with God. I hope you pray, Lord, I hope you will give me enough time for this. And during this pandemic, you stay at home, not working. You have enough time, but you're doing nothing. Did you do something significant in your spiritual life, in your quarantine moments? Now you're back to work. You will be busy again. Back to your normal routine. You're back to school. So sad. Pandemic regrets. I'm going to give you an illustration. I'm going to use a rope to drive my point. Now, I hope you can see this. Imagine this rope goes on forever. Okay, just imagination. Pretend it goes around the world billion and billion of times. Let's imagine this goes on forever, this rope. Actually, it ends there over the last few. Now, imagine this rope is a timeline of your existence because you will exist forever. You see this? I hope you can see it clearly. This, I divided this portion here. Green and red part. This portion here, from here to here, is from the moment you were born, and at 65, you're 65 years old when you reach that age. And then here to here, this one is from 65, this is your retirement age, 65 to, I will be generous, I will make it 85, this one here. 65, 75 or 85 years old, this timeline here. Now, you've got few short years here on earth, only from here to here. And then you have all eternity over here, this white portion. Now, what blows me away is that some of you, all you think is this portion here, from here to here. This 1 inch red part. You are so consumed with this that while you are here, maybe you are now 30 or 40 years old, you are here, or 50 years, so close to 65. While you are still here, you try to make yourself comfortable. You consume with this. You work hard because you think your focus is this, that when you reach this age, you want to relax. You want to go where you want to go. You eat what you want to eat. Be happy. But the Bible teaches that what I do during this little part here, the green and the red portion here, determines how I'm gonna exist for millions and millions of years forever. So why would I spend my time and effort, energy and resources on this part here, from here to here? Particularly this red part. Apostle Paul said, I'm going to live my life for this mission. I'm going to spend and invest my life for this moment because when I face God, I don't get this chance over again. We got one chance at this life on earth, and it can end any second for any of us. You've got one chance, and then comes eternity. You remember the poem by City Stud? Pastor Sunny quoted that whole poem. But it says there, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I'm not going to be fooled. I'm not going to spend my life wasted, Paul said. I will invest something for the future, the moment when I meet my Savior. Do you invest for that? I know many of us are good in making investments for our future here. But how about our future in eternity? Some people will criticize you. Oh, you're stupid because what you do here, this portion, will affect here. But I will say, no, you are wrong. Because what you do here will affect here. Eternity. And everyone lives for this red part here. This one inch part here. And no one is thinking about the millions and millions of years afterwards. It's crazy deception by our enemy, right? Paul says, I'm not doing that. I keep my eyes on the finish line, and that's one thing I do. I'm not going to be looking behind. Instead, I will strain toward the goal, stretching forward. God will hand me the trophy. I'm straining forward, using my energy, strategy to reach that goal. And said, in the succeeding verses, join in imitating me. Do what I'm doing right now. Not earthly minded, whose desire is their belly is their God, or their desire or their appetite. Because our citizenship is in heaven. Think heavenly, not earthly things. Think as citizen of heaven things. Brothers and sisters, run the race. If you are sitting on the sidelines, it's time to get back in the race. There's a Savior to serve and a prize to be won. Run in such a way as to finish the race and win the prize. Finish strong. How? To finish strong, we need to have a godly goal. To have a godly goal, first we need to admit that we are still runners. Not that I have already obtained it. Be honest. And then align your goal with God's goals. And then have that forward focus. To focus on one thing. Remove all the distractions. Lay aside all distractions. Focus on one thing. And focus on the price of the upward call of Christ. May the Lord bless this message. Let's close in prayer.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you
and give you peace.
And give you peace.
And give you peace.
And give you peace.
The Lord
make his face to shine upon you
and be gracious.
And be gracious.